bother to teach them. And percentage-wise, only 5%, they want nice unit. They want, but 95%, they want concrete with plywood. And the reason why, because of the coconut, they have to chop.
What?
They want concrete countertop.
Okay. Wow.
95%.
Really, yeah?
And now probably it's a different ratio.
You know,
that knows your blade.
Yeah. No, plus the home ownership is different, right? They're younger. They're
different.
Yeah, they're different. Yeah.
If it's a condo type, it's just a lock and go, easy. Yeah. But if it's house, then you gotta have some family members.
Yeah. I was talking to the governor a while ago. I said, "Are we ready to go high rise now? You know, like everybody else. You know, I don't know if we are." Yeah. Like you said, a lot of the folks are used to their animals, their dogs, their junk cars, their relatives.
It's not junk cars, it's brokenics.
Oh.
Or mechanics.
Mechanics.
Brokenics.
Okay, all right, sure.
those are parts.
Yeah. That's their Napa store, outside.
That's right.
It's worth something someday.
Someday they're going to need that bolt.
Someday.
And you have a where's your warehouse here? Or
we do have three warehouses. One in Ukudu, or Teredo, basically. That's a 90,000 square foot. Harmon, we have about 20,000 square foot. And then Tamuning. Actually, Harmon, I think, 23,500. Tamuning, floor space, 18,500.
But the big one's in Ukudu.
Ukudu, that's a 90,000.
That's
construction.
Yeah, construction, supplies, materials.
Right.
When all your stuff comes in, that's where you inventory it?
And it depends on the project. Some goes to Tamuning.
Uh-huh.
For military, some of the project, they use Tamuning warehouse.
Yeah.
Harmon, we don't really use 100%, but one for hotel in our collection.
Yeah.
So one still, I think, is still empty. Because
that's the thing about Guam, you know. Depending on the shipping, on the price, you got to bring it in, but you can't leave it outside.
You can't leave it outside. I think recently one housing project, we bought. How many containers have we found? 160, something like that.
160. Yeah. That should be fun to unload.
We have a side lifter.
Yeah?
So we can do
that. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of heavy equipment.
Yeah, we were reading. Good.
How about warehouse? Do you have a lot of warehouse space in there?
So total, 90,000.
Yeah, about 150,
yeah. About a little less than 140. But that doesn't include the warehouses that we have leased out.
Mm.
So we leased it to CTSI. So other than that's probably 140.
Yeah. Morning, Ed.
Morning. How are you?
I know everyone's looking down in Tumon. They're waiting for the Pacific Star to get. Who bought the Star?
It's
Australian?
It's a Korean guy. Korean guy who is doing construction. He accidentally got it.
Boy, that would be
how
nice
do you
accidentally buy a hotel.
Yeah,
it's a monopoly game, I guess.
Accidentally bought it means he thought it's a great deal because, to be honest, the replacement cost probably will be three times. So he took it. Now he needs to renovate it. So he's coordinating with the investors, financial institution in Korea. Let's say the renovation costs minimum 60 to 100 in between, let's say $80 million. So $30+ million plus the fee simple, it's about $7 million. And then you add $80 million, it's going to be $110 million. 400 keys. how we're gonna make money.
Yeah.
So, for example, Western 10 years ago, Korea people actually bought it. They bought it at $137 million for the building and then consumables. So 5 years depreciation, fast depreciation. So they separate. So the $137 million, they guaranteed 6.5% investment yield, but not even 1 year happened, not even one time.
Yeah.
So it was in the news, Collier, I think, a seaside company, we kind of helped them out. I met them. So they're doing the kind of marketing to sell. Then in the news, they said that they're making plus minus $5 million net operating income, not net income. So after NOI, you need to take out interest expense, depreciation expense, guarantee is going to be minus. Then somebody has to pay at least $100 million. But it's up and running. So you're up and running and losing, guarantee, at the West team. Then somebody's gonna start a new one, yellow, for example, Pacific Star. Then, and during that, you know, year or two, maybe year and a half, construction period interest, the CPI, is going to be pretty heavy, about usually $6-7 million. And so the total cost is going to be $120 million. But they have to start marketing from the scratch. I don't know. So if you have three choices, Reef Hotel, potentially, it's up and running. They are going to sell, including Fee Simple, Westin, Pacific Star. Which one you want to buy?
Yeah.
So, and once you buy, you're guaranteed to lose money.
Short of bringing them in yourself. And who's going to do that?
So right? I
they can't control the airlines. It's a, yeah. Not good.
Yeah. So I don't look at the hotel FS financials. I don't look at it.
You don't do hotels.
Yeah.
When do you think that, or do you think the tourism is going to turn around here?
Korea, just Korean Air, as you know, Korean Air purchased and merged with Asiana. So it comes with Air Seoul, Air Busan, and then Korean Air has a Jin Air. So I met the decision maker a few times, and he was actually here a couple weeks ago. So he promised, with the standard subsidy that we have under GBB, he committed 800,000 seats per year, which is 90% of the 2019 overall for Korean Air supply, not considering T-Way, not considering Jin Air.
Yeah.
So which is fantastic news. But the Japan market is below 40% of fuel typical. I think about 40%. So we have a long way to go from Japan market.
But we see the tourism within the Asian markets. Mm-hmm. I mean they're full.
They're full.
Right? And but they don't want to come.
They cannot come. Okay. Because Korea foreign exchange rate is probably around 30%+. A value reduction. Japan, same thing. So because of exchange rate, it's not easy.
Stay home?
Yeah.
Stay home?
Yeah, stay home. Or domestic. So
yeah.
So as a GBB member, we do have now two money people here. So if we are actually getting some pretty good PPT from the construction industry, we need to use that money to help tourism industry at least until end of next year. So from 2027, I think we can definitely reduce the subsidy because aircraft, Boeing and Airbus, they're going to supply most of them delayed, 3 to 5 years delayed because of COVID and the strike. And then once they get their own aircraft as scheduled, then, now, as of today, their air supply is a seller's market. So airlines, they make the decision because so many destinations, they want the air supply. But once they get all their aircraft inventory time.
Yeah.
Then, now they're forced to fly out. Because when they park, there's a charge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Losing money.
Yeah. It's about $90,000 per month, the lease fee.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the parking fee. So we need to help. We need some help for GBV.
But we need some help too.
True, true. So construction, we're going to win a lot of projects. Yeah. We will pay PPT.
Okay, let's go ahead and start. I think everybody's here, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. You know everybody here, right? Okay, we don't need to do introductions, right? Maybe if you could just introduce your partners here. Yeah.
Okay. John Wong, he's a VP in pre-construction. Alon, he's in charge of the estimate. He's a chief estimator.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Okay, thank you. Okay, so we'll go ahead and get started. Like I said earlier, I hope this doesn't last 3 hours.
Lock the date, but.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. So anyway, so we met last week, right? And as a result of that meeting, you came up with a response in terms of different pricing, and we've taken a look at that, and we have a little bit of an issue in terms of the actual construction funding, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I think we discussed that a little bit.
Yes.
Oh, what does the McCaughey Act
yes.
Specify, and what does it say, even versus the RFP that we put out and everything, and so. You know, we've been meeting ourselves as late as yesterday, and so we want to present our position to you.
Okay.
And then you can defend your position as
sure,
well.
Sure.
And then I think depending on where we are, probably go back over the weekend and look at things and then come back again.
Okay.
But you know, as I said earlier today, you know, and as we mentioned the last time we met, we had asked you, right, you know, can you build a school? The big figures up here is 2,000 students,
right.
A school to fit the 2,000 students
right.
at a certain amount of money, and of course you responded yes you can right
yes.
So now it's just we're into the details, but there's some issues with the financing portion of it
right.
that, you know, that I need to discuss as well. So I think the three big issues that we see on the table is the actual funding for construction.
Yes.
The debt service, what's included in the debt service, everything of $16.3 million. And then, that's one, two, what was the last one? O&M.
Yes.
Yeah, actual operations and maintenance of the school for the next 30 years. Yeah, yeah. So what I'd like right now is to turn it over to our finance people.
Okay.
They actually had a hand in the development of the McCaughey Act. And they assisted us with the RFP and how it came out.
I see.
So I'd like them to explain what our position is in terms of the net funds for construction and so on and so forth. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So Lester, you want to take it?
Sure. Good morning.
Good morning.
we worked, Tina and I specifically, during the public hearing and at the legislature to get the details that you see in Public Law 37-22. One of the things that we used was this estimate from TRMA, and at the time the base bid consisted of phase one, new campus, classrooms, offices, gym, cafeteria at $119 million, and then $15 million for phase two, which is sports fields, fencing, football field, track, and tennis courts. So that's how you get to the base bid of 134. And then the FF&E was a separate item at $9 million. So what we ended up doing was looking to see how to, quote unquote, solve to be able to get a deposit into the construction fund of at least the $134 million. So we had this number run done in February of 2023. And what we ended up doing was using a par amount of $166,365,000. That's the same number that you see in the public law.
Right, right.
And there's a premium that was put in that added almost $3 million to that. So we have about $169 million. The project fund deposit at the time was $139 million estimated. Mm-hmm. And 2 years of CAPI at the time was $26 million. Mm-hmm. Then the cost of issuance was $3.3 million. Mm-hmm. And so basically, you know, the sources and the uses equal. Mm-hmm. And this was run at a rate of about 6.7% back in 2023. Mm-hmm. We subsequently had the firm Morgan Stanley do another run. This is June 24th of this year. Same thing, because the legislation has a financing amount, and it's $166 million. So you've got a smaller premium of $143,000. So we have $166.5 million. The project deposit is $143.5 million. Capitalized interest is down to roughly $16 million. Cost of issuance, $5.6 million. And of course, the underwriters got to get paid. So we're at a higher project development fund because the rate also went down almost a full percentage point. So we're looking at 5.6%. For the borrowing costs.
Wow, yeah. That's not realistic at this point.
No, this is
5.6%.
5.6.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the June 24th.
Okay.
So it's not even a month old.
So when I was checking, the market is probably around 6%, 6.2 as of now.
You know, these are very close estimates. We don't take this verbatim, but it's a very good planning tool. Sure. So that you have a good idea of how much money can be secured utilizing the parameters in the public law, which basically call for the debt service to be the par issue amount not to exceed $166,365,000. So the good news is that that range, we're at about $11.7 million in debt service. And so it gives a very comfortable cushion to be able to then allow for $3 million, $4 million for the insurance and maintenance. And when you combine those two, so let's just say we're at $12 million. The annual appropriation amount, the not to exceed, is 16.3. So there's a $4 million ability to provide for the maintenance aspect and the insurance for the, during the leaseback period. So in addition, because the FF&E was a separate item in the TRMA, if we're at $143 million for the project fund, we need to net out the 1% for the arts. So that's $1.66 million. And then we need to net out the cost of the FF&E, and we're still going to use the $9 million that they have here. So the construction cost goes down to $132.9 million. And we, at your, in response to what you wrote, basically, saying that the 166 is construction only, we went back, we looked at the law. Then we also got bond counsel to give us their view. And their view is consistent with our view, that there are several sections of the McCaughey Act, especially 37-22. And I can understand if you read only the construction portion, you might walk away with saying that that applies only to the construction. But there are other areas in the law that draw everything back to a more holistic use of the money. To include the acquisition, and that's that's clearly stated for the FF&E. So the contractor is supposed to be able to assist in being able to demolish the building, acquire the FF&E, and then install it later, and as well as build the building during the lease period. And then once everything is squared away, the building is done, the FF&E is in, then we move to the lease back period. And then the Sanchez community then has the ability to enjoy, you know, the partnership that we really hope to continue with and get this new school finally built.
Okay.
So we appreciate your view of what the Makahat Act basically says, but respectfully, we're firmly of the opinion that this is what we need to do to pursue.
Okay. So, few things. I don't think we included 1% arts in our design. So,
great.
That's, we can talk about that separately. And whether the 5.6 or 6%, well, that's a market dictates. I can't really speak.
Correct.
So that's a great estimate and positive estimate. But let's take a look at the whole picture. The real key is whether we're going to really cap the principal amount at $166 million. That's the first thing. That basically, this body would like to basically go back to the legislature and ask them to remove the cap or not. That's the first question I think this body needs to decide. That's the first thing. Second thing, just clarification, based upon the law that I have read, I think we already discussed it before, the additional rent covering insurance maintenance is not part of the $16.3 million annual appropriation. But nonetheless, if the first question is answered that we are not going back to the legislature, then there's a good point. Meaningless. Because anyway, that service is going to be much less than $16.3 million. So if it's much less than 16.3, so less than kind of round out, let's say $11 to $12 million, then anyway, there are some rooms for insurance and maintenance. Whether the insurance maintenance, including typhoon coverage, it may go above 16.3 because of the insurance market from the war and the typhoon Mawar, so and so and so. So that's a separate issue, but fundamentally, we kind of need to hash out, is it really, the additional rent will be part of the 16.3 or not? The way we read the law, it's very clear, it's outside, it's additional, it's exempt, it's a separate. But it's almost a moot point if we don't answer correctly on the $166 million principle. So we need to talk about that. And me personally, it doesn't matter. I'm happy to help. As long as you don't ask me, you know, Cedric is here on behalf of TRMA. When we submit the bid 13 years ago or 12 years ago, we had a design with the TRMA. We developed the design together. Unfortunately, TRMA was accommodating all stakeholders. And they came up with a very nice design considering COVID situation, so and so and so, height and width. So we can actually go back. I don't know the procurement law. I don't think I can drop off GHD at this moment because they were part of the team. But we can talk to TRMA, hey TRMA, can we use our 13 years ago design? You waive that, then we can develop completely different design concept for Simon Sanchez. Because the current design is quite expensive.
Unfortunately, the public law makes reference to that design.
Okay.
Yeah, it is specifically stated.
Okay. So what flexibility do we all have in terms of design?
If we can agree that the public law has a cap on the borrowing amount, that gets us the project development deposit. Mm-hmm. And if we can agree that the $16.3 million is all in,
mm-hmm. All in, including additional rent?
Yes.
No, it's not in the law. That's not how it is written.
Well, we did take your concerns all the way up to bond council, and it was consistent with our thinking, and we have a response that basically does...
The way I handle that kind of case, I changed the law form. So, very simple. Very simple.
I think it goes back to what Lester said when we were at the legislature. Mm-hmm. We presented that the 16, in the discussion in the committee notes, that the 16 would cover the base and the additional.
Well, no, we can read the law at this moment.
No, if the intent at that time was to...
Okay, so are we going to go back to the intent? Or are we going to stick to the law? I'm okay. Either way, I'm okay. Yeah. It's up to you folks.
Yeah, I mean, what we did was we went down there and gave them the amount that would be necessary to be able to come up to at least $134 million.
Yeah.
But so that's how we got to the 166. And as Tina mentioned, you know, at the time there was an amount in the 16.3 for insurance and maintenance.
Yeah, but the law was actually written decades ago.
Yeah, but it was amended. So this is the public law. Mm-hmm. And the first 8 pages are all scratched out. Mm-hmm. And it went from may use tax-exempt financing to shall use tax-exempt financing. Mm-hmm. And the only way that you're going to get tax-exempt financing is through GEDA.
Okay.
So, yes, this is the bill that was introduced back in 2023. Mm-hmm. And... you know, there was many public hearings. The committee report came out June 15th. The governor signed it into law after it was passed by the legislature on July 5th. Okay. So we have been working for years and years and years, as you have, to put this together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is a holistic approach. Mm-hmm. It is using a deposit consistent with their estimate at the time of what the base would cost.
Understand. I'm not going to get into the detail of the estimate at this moment, but let's just have at least one clear understanding here. So are we going to basically stick to the intent of your plan, not based upon the law?
No. I think we are basing it on the law, not the intent.
Can we simply read the law, not to waste anybody's time?
Sure.
Okay, so let's just read the law in terms of the maintenance cost.
In terms of leaseback payments, right, the pertinent part here is any pledge or reservation authorized here under shall be valid, so on, and then it goes to the 16.3 mil.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the maintenance cost. It's in the law.
Utilities and routine maintenance and repairs.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
The contractor shall be responsible for the connection of all utilities, including without limitation, power, water, sewer, telephone, and cable.
You know what? I actually we already discussed and we were agreed, so I didn't bring the law. I had a law last week. So
and all routine interior and exterior maintenance and repair.
Oh yeah.
Exterior groundskeeping and landscaping.
That's law.
Make sure we're reading the same thing.
Yeah. I want to make sure that it's
Yeah. And if you actually go to page 358D103. It says DOE is authorized to lease the school property to the contractor for the purposes of facilitating the financing, construction, FF&E system,
one second.
Maintenance.
So, this is the law. As in the contractor and the leaseback shall provide that all maintenance of the new central channels is not described in performance of the contract, a separate cost. Contractor, so maintenance fund. 580-111.
I think the key there is not described in the previous subsection.
Okay.
If anything is not described here, then that'll come in as a separate cost.
So 580-110. Can we
read
it together?
So go ahead. The contractor shall be responsible for the connection of all utilities, including without limitation, power, water, sewer, telephone, and cable, and all routine interior and exterior maintenance and repair, exterior groundskeeping and landscaping, and upkeep of the new San Francisco High School.
Okay. All right. So, Lester's point, the government's standpoint, all the insurance and maintenance shall be part of $16.3 million.
Correct.
Okay. And then we now need to stick to the concept of TRMA is the design, the government design. Okay. Unless we're gonna cut down the building down to half, I don't think we can
do it.
Yeah, so we really need to start from the scratch.
Let's try, I know it's in here somewhere. Where's the one where it says they have to use the existing?
Page three, it basically is I. School design shall mean the architectural engineering design procured by DOE in solicitation number RFP 06-2020.
Okay.
Pursuant to public law 3411 without a firing range. So, yeah. You know, we're stuck with that.
Yeah, and then one more thing. Because of typhoon and typhoon insurance costs is humongous, millions of dollars, do you want to keep typhoon coverage even though you do have a typhoon shutters?
I think once we get to the fundamental agreement of where we are, we can certainly work with you to be able to take different elements, maybe address them on a case by case, and then you know, kind of whittle around away at some of the costs to see whether or not we can actually get down to the $133 million.
So let me get the number straight from you, Lester. So total construction cost, what is the maximum that you have?
Just back of the napkin, what I was reading a little bit earlier, which basically is the project fund deposit plus taking into account the things that the 1% for the arts and
not including arts, yeah, so let's separate
one. Well, it has to come from somewhere.
Yeah, I understand. I just want to focus on construction because
132.9.
Can you write it down? 132. So that's what we have for the construction.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So now I need to ask the doctor. When you calculate the 2,000 student body, do you calculate 2,000 based upon general classroom or gym and auditorium, science room, all inclusive, or just straightforward, you know, don't bother those special activities? How do you calculate?
We take an actual class size ratio and the number of sections that we'd like, that we need to have. Mm. So, you don't take into account the gymnasium because you already have health classrooms. So if there's a classroom need related to that or the theater, same thing. They have a classroom and then they have a performance space or a competition space. So we don't count those. But we count the number of classrooms that we need to have.
So general classroom, science shall be included as a space to count 2,000.
Right.
And then you better ask today now. So we have to go back and then recalculate and reduce a certain number of flexible or additional classroom so we can possibly meet the requirement. So any questions? So
may I just explain further, right? So the $132 million construction cost that we're referencing right now, that was based off, we specifically were anticipating making adjustments for cost increase that came about, you know, due to the pandemic and the supply chain issues, right? So,
but that was done about 3 years ago.
Sure.
And yeah. So, and then, you know, probably about 40% increase from that year.
Yeah, and so in that time, right, so we had to prepare for that. Uh-huh. And so basically we established that $132 million cost was for what we identified as the base bid, which in general was the classroom buildings and the sports facilities.
And then, so that's a basic bid. And what is additional or additive item?
So then the additive items would be the auditorium. The credit recovery facility. So there's credit recovery classrooms.
What recovery?
The credit recovery classrooms.
There's a special, like...
There's like four classrooms, like a separate building in the school.
So, so Lester's perspective, those additive items is already out of the picture.
That's the intent of our design. That was the intent of our design, and that's what the yes, from the base bid items, the base bid is $132 million.
Okay, so doctor, you're okay with that?
So I think.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
sorry,
it's a trade.
They're helping our economy. It's 1 month, yeah. So we're helping.
What is it again? The base amount you estimated.
So the base bid was for the new campus, basically the buildings and the sports facilities and the associated site work necessary for that, right? Then the items that we would be considered additive bid items were the auditorium, the multi-purpose field and tennis courts, the PV system, the rainwater catchment system, the landscaping plants, irrigation, and site furnishing, and then the credit recovery building. So those items were things that, based off our design and based off our cost estimate, were outside, were
so
additive
so
items.
I just want to make sure that we don't want to go back and forth. So GDOE standpoint, we're now talking about different scope of the facilities. So we're going to separate that. And I don't want to go back and forth too many times. So we're okay. We're not going to have auditoriums, et cetera.
We need to have an auditorium, but we don't need to have a theater. I mean, this could be scaled down.
Okay. But
it's not out of the, it's outside of the basic theater.
Right.
It's still outside. Yeah. But
right. But TRMA is an architect. You know, we work together in many projects, even currently. We know how to partition our relationship. But TRMA, for sure, is not a contractor. Mm-hmm. So if you bid, you're going to file a bankruptcy, okay? So you're safe. You're safe.
Stay with architecture.
Which is good. But even that, but, you know, it was 3 years ago, so we get that. Most recent project that we submitted a bid for the NAFAC, the square foot cost was $2,500.
For
the building, just not you know, special building. So that's the reality now. So that's crazy. I sign off on it, but I cannot believe what I'm doing. I mean, that is ridiculous.
Per square foot.
2,500 square foot.
And this facility, I think we're looking at 300,000 square feet, right?
So, yeah, a little less than that. So, and we're doing around 40% of the entire Guam market. That means we are obviously the lowest contractor because it's LPTA, lowest price technically acceptable. So our number, we basically sharpen our pencils. So based upon that basic belief, so let's talk about that. So let's say we're going to stick to your estimate or guesstimate. We are going to focus on only certain buildings. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think you may need to have a sidebar conversation after this meeting.
Sure.
So
yeah, we're going to have a separate break.
Yeah. Or you can actually send an email so we will understand.
But subject to
I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think the two heads need to get together. Because
sure.
I'm, you know, if we have a number here and then we also have a design, can you make that number build that design?
Mm-hmm.
And to what extent, if you can't, because obviously there have to be cutbacks somewhere.
Yes.
There have to be, things have to be scaled.
Yes.
And so in working with not just the architect, but, you know, with the school principal and DOE, the owners, the eventual owners of the building, what's going to work for them?
Exactly.
That's what we really have to be looking at here.
You
know, with that type of a construction cost of 132.9, I mean, we're talking significant
reductions. Yeah.
Huge.
I mean, anything is possible. Let me be straightforward. Construction, but we're kind of handcuffed in terms of the design requirement, because Lester mentioned that it is stick to the original concept. Not maybe exactly 100% of the drawing pages, but we have a little bit of flexibility, but not much.
What's the difference between the old design and this design that we're working currently?
My design is much better.
I mean, before we, I'd like to also point out that, you know, our design was submitted as is. The programming document allows for the flexibility for your designers of record to make design modifications that are in line with the design intent. Right, so that's something that you also need to keep in mind, because perhaps our buildings don't have to be so tall. You can cut off some of the height of the buildings.
Right.
That's possible
based
off our programming document.
Right.
Well,
And then also there may be certain efficiencies that your designer of record comes up with regarding the mechanical systems.
Mm.
That's in accordance with our programming document and our designs.
Not much savings there. Not much.
But any other places where you guys can identify that? That's still something
you guys are... Not much. TRMA has been on Guam for decades, so you didn't do something silly. No, not much. Yeah, no. Just a matter of the COVID requirement, the width and height.
Yeah.
So that's definitely we already have considered. That's why we were able to reduce to mid $166 million. But the finance team, the government side, they try to refine based upon their history. No, it's not a construction amount. It's basically total fund. So I will follow your lead, Lester. So we're talking about $137 million, right? So we can do that if you unleash me in terms of the design. And if you unleash me in terms of the requirement how to count 2,000 student body, or you're going to completely reduce down to 1,800, 1,700, we can make it happen. We can make it happen. For the full record, in order for us to bid this project, to be honest, we gave up on one project in the military, which is $250 million, for the record. And our winning ratio probability is about 40%. So our commitment is still here. But give us a little bit of flexibility with the basic information, then maybe we can have a meeting, if you don't mind, next week, Friday, because I'm coming back on Thursday. Unless you guys want to have a Teams meeting that I can join at any time. So,
would it be prudent to just have the architects?
Yes, right after this
guys,
meeting.
Right.
Yes, right after this.
Yeah.
Can I suggest that?
Yes, sir.
Because there's in the provision of the RFP, to allow for the flexibility, realizing that you have your own design build is for your architect engineers.
Gotcha.
We threw in that there's two looks. The two looks would be, I think it's 4% and 70 or 90% that the government has to look, which is basically GDOE.
Right.
So to avoid, I mean, we'll vote to that, but my suggestion is that instead of, in inclusive of the architect's meeting, can we have Simon Sanchez, who helped with them, sit down with us? Because they understand.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, we don't make any decisions in terms of the...
Unless the school is there.
Yeah, DOE needs
right,
to...
So,
yeah.
So I've already talked to Principal Carla, and I said, if we get to this point, could we meet with CORTEC next Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. If you're open to that, we want to be open to that, too. We want to be available to that.
As long as she recognizes that if she doesn't do that, if she's not flexible...
Yeah, we want to see.
Okay, got it. As long as she understands. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. So even though I'm not here, these two gentlemen definitely accommodate and work together. Okay.
And nothing's included until this meeting.
Yeah. Got it.
Can I at this level here, what kind of design changes can we expect? And when I say design changes to the original footprint, as opposed to these things.
Great
right
question.
Here,
very
you
good
know?
Question. Really. If you ask me, you know what? Never mind what you have, what we have. Start from scratch and just get it done. Then I can say, no problem, I'll do it. But because of that reference, so we kind of handcuffed somehow, so that we really need to work harder. But I think it's possible. I just feel bad for that. I sacrificed $250 million project for $130 million, but ouch.
Yeah,
it's
ouch.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
It's okay. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. I think part of what I'm looking at is, you know, the architect's rendition has already been out.
Yes.
It's been printed. The kids have seen it. the public has seen it.
Understand.
Are we gonna, how much are we gonna deviate from that? You know, there's some nice walls here that go here. I mean, the facade, the face, it's got presence. The school has presence. You know, how far are we gonna deviate from that? You guys eventually, you still have to meet.
Yeah, so. I think we can possibly have a better answer next week, Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair and actually prudent because, you know, you just got hit with a tsunami, mm-hmm. and you're going to have to figure out whether or not the whole house got flooded or just one room. So it is very incumbent that you kind of take a deep breath and come back and work with TRMA and Carla and the team from DOE to see what it is that you can do, like Ben said, in the continuing with the design spirit, and you know, I'm sure there are going to be acceptable revisions that people here can sit with. Again, number one, the credit recovery facility, right? That's a low hanging fruit, but you know, there are going to be things that that are suggested that, you know, just not going to fly. So
let me share some experience. I'm not going to name it. There's one architectural firm, actually two architectural firms. One is a 6 feet hallway in the military barracks. They put a line on the ceiling, hallway ceiling, both sides, just a little groove, this width of the groove, to make it nice.
Aesthetics.
Mm-hmm. Aesthetics. You don't know how much it costs.
That's my point. Yeah. How pretty are we going to get as opposed to function?
And then you cannot have a straight line, even if you use a metal strip. And the second one, it's a wall. Architect actually made a reveal here and here. So indent, it's basically kind of cutting in inside.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that groove is inserted, right? No. Because of structural calculation, it's not inside. From all the way, all the wall actually expanded.
Just to get the indent.
Just get that indent.
Yeah.
So you increase the width, entire wall for 240 units. So you have to spend more money on the concrete and rebar.
Just to go in and in.
He didn't draw the line. He asked us to go deeper by this. So this much, we have to expand the width of the...
Otherwise, you use the structural...
Integrity.
So that's kind of like what I'm looking at.
So when you look for the beauty, aesthetics, you got to have a deep pocket.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
And no different than that when you were talking about insurance.
Yes.
Do we get insurance or, you know, my thing... If we don't need that much insurance if we have good solid windows, double pane, triple pane, maybe even smaller windows.
Just regular
shutters.
Window with regular window means the meeting the DPW requirement, which is not regular. Just a one regular. It's strong window, right? As long as we have a type and shutter, then we can protect the building inside from flying object. So in reality, it's so hard to get, it's not about the price, it's so hard to get the insurance company to provide.
Yeah, I'll put this up later because we're looking at Typhoon insurance government-wide.
Mm.
So I'll pick this up later, but I think you need to get to the value of the building before we think about the insurance. So when you've done that, we'll take it.
Oh, yeah, you're correct. But if we get the job done at 13 point, how much?
132.9,
it only gives us a few million dollars for additional rent. And if you are going to include a Typhoon policy, this has to go down. So we kind of need to know today.
Well,
yeah.
We can't know today, so
yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and do what you're going to do, and we'll look at it.
Then we have to do the two steps. So we got to go through this practice first, and then, and once we satisfy, and we can talk about additional rents.
Yeah.
Separate.
Yeah. And we'll look at this this business of typhoid insurance holistically.
Yeah. Hard to find the insurance company. Really hard to find. For example, we are actually negotiating with the GPA regarding solar farm energy. GPA has already accepted Cortec Captive as an insurance company. Even that, they are asking, I'm talking about bond investors, they're asking 1 year business interruption from the typhoon.
Wow.
Yeah, because we need to get a investors who has no skin in the game. They will never ever take the risk at 6% yield.
1 year?
1 year. Hard to get. Usually 2 weeks. 1 month, okay. 6 months is a real stretch. Now they want 1 year. So I know we don't have a business interruption here, but hard to find the insurance company.
Yeah, I think probably we're going to have to go to a Lloyd's underwriter, but
yeah.
We'll look at that later.
Yes.
When we get this, but this is such a big part of it.
Yes.
I don't think we can go until we know exactly
true. We'll go step by step.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So next week, Friday, what time will be the best time for all of you?
I won't be here.
You'll be.
I'll be off.
Do you need to be here?
I'll be off on it, but I can do a Zoom. I can do a Zoom.
We can all do
it right here.
Okay.
We can all do a Teams
meeting. Oh, you want to actually post? So technical meeting will be done
during the next week,
and then after that, we can possibly, to save everybody's time since everybody's traveling, we can submit the proposal first, so you can have your own internal meeting.
You can submit by next Friday.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'll be here by Friday.
Yeah, and then we look it over over the weekend, and then maybe meet Monday.
Yeah, when you are physically here.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You gonna be here?
I won't be physically here.
Okay. Well,
I'll be with him. So.
You too.
Yeah.
The following Monday,
we
can
do it remotely.
What are you coming back?
I'm coming back. I'll be back Thursday.
Thursday. So 2 weeks.
Should we talk about the 28th?
I'm back on the 30th.
Right.
Yeah.
We can always do Zoom, guys.
Okay, we can do the Zoom.
Yeah.
So as long as
we have something to take a look at, and we have the time to internalize it.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. By Friday, we will submit, and then we'll.
And then we'll look at a meeting Guam time 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. So no matter where you guys are at, it's going to be afternoon or evening, right?
Something like 30. That.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll be on island.
I'll be on island.
Okay, so we'll tend
to Mr. Host, just so I can confirm, right? So what you're suggesting is next week around Wednesday, the technical people get together with Simon Sanchez and start those discussions.
Right.
After Wednesday, you're going to submit something.
It doesn't have to be Wednesday. When do you?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
You can
do it depending on the Saturday board.
We can start having discussions.
Can you tentatively make?
And I'll include DOE and the correspondence that we have today.
We need to
can start
our
little
bit.
You know what?
Today.
On Wednesday. I know you have a lot of people.
But we can start corresponding today. I can just summarize what I talked about today. I can summarize that to you, and then I'll keep SSFM and DOE on my.
Okay.
I'll copy you guys on my email. So I think we can start corresponding today. So, and then.
So maybe we'll have a meeting about 40 minutes right after this meeting.
Sure.
Hey, okay.
I mean, that's okay.
Without even Simon Sanchez's principal, at least we would have some idea first.
Yeah, we can do it.
And then we can schedule it. Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be technical stuff, so
we
wouldn't know what the heck you're talking about. Maybe to some extent, but
yeah.
And that's fine with us.
Okay, thank you.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
But at least we set up a time of next week, Monday, 9 a.m.
Monday's
a holiday.
It's coming Monday.
The following Monday, which would be what, the 28th?
28th.
Okay.
Is that right? 28th?
Yep.
About Tuesday.
Tuesday might be better.
Yeah.
Because you need to internalize it.
Well, not only
really
that,
Friday
it's
afternoon.
Monday
would
be Sunday.
Tight, right? Yeah. I think Tuesday might be better.
You got a baseball game or something?
No.
Tuesday, what time?
Yeah, I'll get it Sunday night. So.
9 o'clock?
9
o'clock. 9 o'clock.
9, 10, 11 a.m., 11 p.m.
Same thing, please.
Oh, no, that's pricing.
Okay.
You still?
Yeah, we'll still be there.
Oh, we can join.
Yeah.
It'll be evening.
Yeah, it'll be evening.
Yeah.
We're fine.
No problem. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna have a dinner.
Sounds like
I'll be all ears.
I think we can do both. We're really flexible.
Sounds like halal night.
Wonderful. I see. Okay, so we have something to work on. It's a heavy lifting.
We appreciate your efforts. I can see it's sour.
It hurts.
No, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah. But we appreciate your frankness and openness to work with us.
Thank you.
You know, unfortunately, we have the law to stay with.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, if things were different, maybe we're okay going back to the legislature. We just don't want to go there. It's, you know,
not a good
long-awaited project.
I think we have 100% approval here that none of us want to go back to the legislature to see what we can do to build a school for the kids. And at least one of the things we did want to accomplish in the meeting is that both sides leave here today with a win.
Okay.
That at least there we're continuing the talks, and there's progress hopefully within the next 7 to 10 days.
Yes. Can we bring this issue to Saipan legislature? They are more flexible than Guam.
Yeah. Other than that, any final comments?
Good idea.
Any final comments? We're good. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be seeing you. Yeah, have a good trip,
huh?
Thank you, sir. Cedric, you're up.